Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, coming on to you once again with all kinds of geeky stuff lined up just for you. Yeah, it's good to be back in the saddle, so to speak. No, I really don't have a saddle, and I'm not actually in one, but it's a metaphor. What can I say? I had all kinds of problems with my software last week. I then had further problems when I tried to do one of my other podcasts. Yes, I do several podcasts. Not one quite like this one, though. This is unique. Uniquey. Unique. We'll stick with that. Anyway, the point is, I tried to do another podcast sitting in the car in a parking lot on batteries. Note to self, that is a bad idea. Apparently, if your screen goes into hibernate mode, and even if you wiggle your mouse really quickly and get it back, you lose your audio track, which is being recorded to memory in Pod Producer. Now, for those of you that don't know, I use Pod Producer software. And let me say, I got frustrated enough with losing that podcast that I went out across the internet using Google to search high and low for other Pod Producer type software. Software that would allow me to do the podcast and perhaps would not save the audio track just to memory, but actually save it to the hard drive in the process of doing the podcast. And you know what I found? They're all really sorry. Pod Producer rocks. Okay? Even though it is a beta version and it is beta 0.26. Yeah, you got that. We're not even to .5. We're not even close to .1. Actually, we're not even close to .3. But at any rate, even in its betaness, it is still cooler than all the other pod production software that's out there, including some that cost upwards of $300. So, what am I going to do? I guess I'll just stick with good old open source Pod Producer, which is available at www.podproducer.net for free. You got it. Open source. And hosted, I might say, on the drbillbailey.net web servers as a service to the open source community and as a service to Alfredo Romo, the gentleman, and I say that from the bottom of my heart, gentleman who writes Pod Producer. He hablo español, he speaks Spanish, but he writes an English version as well as a Spanish version. And let me tell you, Alfredo, you rock, dude. I'm telling you, this software is excellent, particularly to be a beta version. I mean, come on, let's give it some props. It really is cool. Now, I digress just a bit, but I was just very impressed. After looking at all the other software, I'm thinking, man, if I had, now, look, I have nothing whatsoever against Audacity. I use Audacity, which is another open source audio editing program. I use it all the time to do post editing on audio files. But to record a podcast live, like I like to do it, and you know, you get all the geeky goodness of the doctor just being himself without going back and trying to clean things up. And I don't mean that in a verbal language perspective, because this is always a clean podcast from that particular point of view. No, I'm talking about, you know, all warts and all, as they say, you know, all the little flubs and all the little silliness that occurs when you're doing a live podcast. I just leave in there because I want you to get the essence. I want you to get the feel of a podcast being produced almost live. It's as live as it can be without being live, because if it were live, you'd be listening right now at 4:56 on a Saturday, October the 28th. You'd be listening right this very minute, and of course you can't be because I'm recording it. Otherwise, it would be live. Science! I tell you, it's grand. Anyway, this is, amazingly enough, podcast number 60! 60! Wow, that's cool. Not exactly a great event, but cool. Okay. And in honor of this being our 60th podcast, we're going to play some geek culture for you. You didn't realize I could play geek culture, did you? Well, you know the doctor. Of course he can. This is a song that I found while surfing across the internet on my surfboard, just, you know, enjoying the view and splashing along. And I found this song. It's called Own a Podcast. It's by a group called Cruise Box. And let me just say right up front, you remember a while ago I said the doctor is always clean. This is a family-friendly podcast. There are other versions of this song that are, shall we say, not so clean. The language is not appropriate for the entire family. This song, on the other hand, has been cleaned and cleaned and cleaned to the point that Cruise Box said, dude, we don't even recognize it anymore. It's so clean. So I don't even want to know what the first version sounded like. But this version is really cool. And so we're going to play it. It's called, as I said, On a Podcast. Revolution is on. It's nice to be part of a revolution, isn't it? And just think, your a part of that revolution by listening to this podcast, by having downloaded it to your PC, you are sticking it to the man, because they can't tell us what to put on our podcast. It's a scary thought, isn't it? Yeah. Well, anyway, want you to know, of course, that Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, that's moi, is here as part of the Tech Podcast Network. Whoa, that was cool, wasn't it? That was kind of the Tech Podcast Network sound. If you're ever listening to the Tech Podcast Network and you hear, you'll know that's the official Tech Podcast Network sound. Cool, huh? Anyway, see, that was just one of those little features of Pond Producer. I've got a little button here, and I can hit that button and just make that sound. Isn't that just so cool? Hey, what can I say? I like this software. Oh, well, anyway. Again, I digress. Let's go back to the blog. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, the blog. For the past week, what did I blog about on Monday, you ask? Well, first item, happy birthday, iPod! Well, here we are on the 60th podcast. We just played on a podcast, and we're wishing the iPod happy 5th birthday. 5 years of iPodding. And let's see now, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2 years, just a little over 2 years of podcasting. So podcasting came about somewhat after the iPod. Got to have content after all. So there you go. 73% of the MP3 player market is the iPod. That's pretty cool. Also on Monday, we celebrated another birthday. Appropriately so, Weird Al Yankovic was 47 on Monday. Young whippersnapper, isn't he? Speaking as the computer curmudgeon, of course, I am 51. But anyway, point being, Weird Al, salute, and happy birthday. And of course, he provides us all kinds of good pod video and audio for our iPods. Actually, I don't have an iPod. I have an MP3 player, but it's not an iPod. Don't tell Steve Jobs, okay? Just let's keep it on the down low. Okay, let's move on to our next item. Ubuntu passes the Mac in terms of popularity on Google Trends. Now, this is an interesting news item that I saw on Dig. I still don't quite know what to make of it, because basically, we're not necessarily saying that Ubuntu Linux is more popular than a Mac in and of itself. We're saying that if you check Google Trends, which I assume would be people surfing the web using Google, and their trend analysis technology indicates that the Ubuntu Linux distribution passed the number of users using that particular technology, Google, over the Mac. That's the only thing I can figure. But hey, this guy wrote this in his blog about how Ubuntu passed the Mac based on Google Trends. If that's really, really true, that there's more copies of Ubuntu Linux out there running than there are Macs, whoa, that would be pretty cool, I gotta admit. But you know, I find that slightly hard to believe, but okay, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. Pretty doggone cool, though. And while we're at it, the next item talks about the fact that we were anticipating with bated breath the launch of Firefox 2.0. It was going gold earlier this week, and there was an article that was an interview with Chris Beard, who is VP of products at Mozilla, and he was talking about the advantages and benefits and new features of the Firefox 2.0 launch. And then the next day, the very next day, on October 25th, Firefox 2.0 was available, and I downloaded it instantly as soon as I found out. And, dude, I gotta admit, I like Firefox 2.0. Now, to be fair, I also downloaded the new version of Internet Explorer 7, and I looked at both of them, and I've got a comparison in the blog, if you want to look at it, of the two, and how they handle RSS feeds. And we'll talk more about that in just a few minutes as we get to that item, because that was really interesting when I checked that out. But I like several features. You know, one of the coolest features about Firefox 2.0 that I like a lot, it's already, for a long time, has done tab browsing. That's been one of its claims to fame. And Internet Explorer version 7 now has tab browsing, which is, you know, whoa, how many years behind is Microsoft doing that? But anyway, I won't go there. Point is, what I like about the new Firefox 2.0 version of tab browsing is just that little bitty X where you can close the tab with one click. That's just cool. Now, you might say, well, whoopee-doo, Dr. Bell. I mean, that's not such a big deal. But I tell you what, you use it and you start actually surfing around and using tab browsing and closing tabs and things like that, you'll find out just how cool it is. I mean, it's one of those things that it's like, wow, this is so simple, but it's so cool. The other cool thing, this one really got me. As I've mentioned before, my email client of choice is Squirrel Mail, which is a web-based client. And Squirrel Mail has spell checking built into it, okay? Let's say that up front. But using Firefox 2.0 and Squirrel Mail, words in my email messages were just faintly underlined with a little red underline showing that they were misspelled. I could right-click and spell check using Mozilla in Squirrel Mail to check the spelling of my message. In other words, I didn't have to click on the button that launches the Squirrel Mail spell checker and then checks the email. It did it on the fly. Now, simple little thing, but you will be amazed at how cool that is. Or if you're, you know, using a web-based, again, web-based editor for HTML, it checks it on the fly, the spell checking. Very cool feature. One of those things that if you'd have said, we're going to have spell checking on the fly in the web browser, I'd have gone, well, whoopee-doo, what do I care? But it really rocks. I like it. So, enjoy that. Next item, Mozilla. When I went to their website, I found out they had another project. Now, it turns out, according to our good buddy Darkmoon, who always keeps me straight, Dark Moon, thank you for keeping the doctor straight. He's out there constantly checking to make sure that I get things right, and I appreciate it. Don't I? Yes. Anyway, he pointed out that this has been around for a long time. I didn't know. Okay, it was news to me, so I blogged about it. It's called Minimo. Minimo. And what it is a web browser from Mozilla for a Windows mobile device, like a, you know, phone, cell phone, whatever, you know, Windows mobile, what else would be Windows mobile? Oh, those little PDA things that nobody uses anymore. Those kinds of things. Okay, a web browser for them. Very cool. Now, he did admit in his comment, Darkmoon said, you know, he checked it out in an earlier version, and this is a later version. He's going to check it out and see what he thinks. But it was news to me because I don't use Windows mobile devices. You know, if I had, maybe I'd have known about it before. But if you're looking for a web browser for your Windows mobile device, check it out. It is Mozilla Firefoxy goodness in an a product called Minimo. So check it out. It's version, version, he says, as he goes to the website, .016. Not very confident in it, are they? It's not exactly, you know, down to version 1 yet. So check it out, but just kind of be careful because it's very early, okay? Now, speaking of Linuxy things and open sourcey things, are you a Linux noob? Noob is one of those terms like newbie. See, it comes from newbie or one who is not an expert in such things yet. And of course, if you are a Linux noob, you want to be a Linux dude, okay? So go from noob to dude by reading some great books. And our good buddy, I really like Stephen J. Vaughn Nichols because he recommends good stuff. He has good information all the time. And, of course, he writes for Linux-Watch.com. So check out his articles there. But he had an article on the Linux 101 required reading list. And I've got a link to it in the blog. And he recommends Robin Miller's book, Point and Click Linux, Deanne LeBlanc's Linux for Dummies, the 7th edition, a website, okay, not a book, but a website, linuxtopia.org, linuxtopia.org, and then the IBM Redbook Linux Client Migration Cookbook, which is a free ebook download. Okay, he mentions all of these books, all of these, I shouldn't say books, because one of them's a website, and one of them's an ebook, which is still a book, but it's an ebook. It's a book with an E in front of it, so there you go. Anyway, all resources, let's say that, resources that will help you if you're a Linux newbie and want to be a Linux dude, okay? Cool. Now, here's the big news, as far as I'm concerned, for the week. Ubuntu 6.1. 1.0 is out. The edgy eft is out. Cool. I downloaded it and did I install it? No, I didn't install it. I ran it off the CD to see how it would, fly. And it's pretty doggone cool. I gotta admit, I like it. So, I still don't like the brownness. You know, the brownness just doesn't do it for me. But you can customize and you can take care of the brownness if you don't like it. But I tell you, it's a neat distribution. Check it out. They released it with some enhancements that include things like an easy-to-use note-taking tool called Tomboy. They have a photo management tool that enables tagging, photo editing, uploading to online web management sites such as Flickr called F-Spot. Of course, it has GNOME 2.16. They tend to base their desktops on GNOME. They also have a KD version called Ubuntu. And they have just a plain old kind of, a version for systems that aren't quite as beefy, shall we say, called Xubuntu. Anybody that knows really how to pronounce those words correctly, let me know, because I kind of struggle. I struggle with Ubuntu, you know. Ubuntu and Xubuntu. Edubuntu? I mean, these are all things that just kind of tie my tongue up in little bitty knots, okay? And that's very uncomfortable. So if you know how to pronounce them correctly, clue the doctor in, and I'll give you props, okay, dude? All right. I said dude again. That's okay. People have been writing me saying, Dr. Bill, say dude. We like the dude. Keep it in, okay? So I won't go overboard on the dude, you know, dude. I'm not gonna do that. But when a dude slips out, keep in mind it's D-E-W-D, dude, and it's an expression of excitement that I use quite a bit. So if you knew me personally, you'd be hearing dude fairly regularly. Okay, so just hang in there. All right, there's another enhancement to Ubuntu 6.1.0, and that is Upstart, a replacement startup manager. Now, this is cool because it is substantially faster in booting. Check it out. It's pretty doggone neat, okay? It also includes Firefox 2.0. Now, that's pretty cool considering they just released the full version of, you know, the official release version of Firefox 2.0, and then right almost days, literally, just days later, they released this new version of Ubuntu, and it's part of Ubuntu. That's pretty cool. That's cutting edge, dudes, okay? All right. Proactive security features, Evolution 2.8.0, which brings new features such as vertical message panes. In other words, good stuff for you to check out. I would encourage you to do it. Now, it's time for the Geek Software of the Week fanfare. Dun, dun. We need a fanfare. I need me a fanfare button that I can press like that. I'll have to find me a Geek Software of the Week fanfare, just like we have a Tech Podcast Sounder fanfare. So I will look for that. That will be my homework assignment. Anyway, point being, it's time for Geek Software of the Week. You thought the doctor got distracted with his toy and didn't remember what he was going to do. And you're almost right, but I didn't. Okay, Geek Software of the Week this week is Micro, which is a little U-shaped thingy, a doohickey that means micro. And we'll just, for the sake of speaking words, I'll call it uTorrent. Okay? uTorrent. Because I don't know how else I would say it other than uTorrent, because I don't know what the little doohickey symbol is. I do know it stands for micro, because this torrent client is tiny, 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 tiny. Now, there's a story behind this Geek Software of the Week. You see, the Geek Software of the Week that I recommended for a BitTorrent client many months ago was Azurius. And I still like Azurius okay. Okay? I still like it. But it's Java-based. And here's my observation about Azurius. It's a little bit sluggish. Okay? Just a little bit, because it's Java-based. It's an interpreted language. uTorrent, on the other hand, is fast because it's so small. I like that in a client. And it does just exactly what I want it to do, which is just simply download a BitTorrent stream. Okay? That's what I'm after. So it's a cool Geek Software of the Week. And it has a new feature, kind of an add-on, that pretty much rocks. And that is, you can control your torrent, you know, your acquisition and distribution of your distributed files through a web-based control center. So in other words, here's how you would do it. You would install uTorrent on a PC. That PC would sit on your network, and through this add-on, you have a web browser interface to control, turn off, you know, or do all kinds of things with that torrent while it's downloading, because chances are, if it's a big file, it may be taking a while. And let's say that it's kind of choking your bandwidth a little bit, and you're thinking, man, dude, I got to do some surfing, so I'm going to throttle this down. Well, you can do that through the web interface without having to go back in the back. See, I'm pointing to the back of my apartment where my web servers are. I don't have to go back there and get on my computer, whose name is Jordy, by the way. Say hello to Jordy. Hi, Jordy. Anyway, I have to get on Jordy and directly get on his keyboard to manage my BitTorrent download, upload, whatever I happen to be doing. I can do it through a web browser interface. That pretty much rocks. So I'm sitting here in my easy chair, gently rocking here in the living room, and I can be on my laptop controlling Jordy back in the back. Oh, that's just so cool. I'm just one of those geeky guys that enjoys that kind of coolness, okay? Yeah. Anyway, there you go. Geek Software of the Week for this week. Now, we are down 2 minutes being left in the podcast, and coincidentally, we're on the last item for the week, which is what I mentioned earlier, RSS feeds under Mozilla 2.0 and Internet Explorer 7.0. I don't know if you remember, if you ever hit an RSS feed, raw feed page in the old days before Mozilla 2.0 and before Internet Explorer 7.0, boring. All you saw was XML code, gibberish, 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 gibberish. And you were like, what do I care? You know, this doesn't tell me anything. Because it was an RSS feed, it was just code. Now, it was cool because it allowed your RSS feed podcast aggregation software to do its cool thing, which is okay, but if you actually looked at the feed, you'd go, yeah, right. But now, if you go to that same feed and look at it through Mozilla 2.0, Firefox, I'm sorry, made by Mozilla 2.0 or Internet Explorer 7.0, you see a cool looking web page, and it has places you can click to play the podcast. That's just cool. I mean, really, that rocks. Okay, but in my typical fashion of wanting to know which is better, Internet Explorer 7.0, which of course is from Microsoft, which of course means it's doomed. Okay, or Firefox 2.0 with its handling of RSS, guess what? Firefox wins. Dude, I looked at it under Firefox 2.0. I would do this, okay? Just do this. Download Firefox 2.0 for me, install it on your computer, and then go to http://podcast.com/podcast TheComputerCurmudgeon.com, TheComputerCurmudgeon.com. Go to that address and then look at the web page that gets generated. Whoa, it's cool. It's got the little Dr. Bill cartoon up in the upper right-hand corner, and it's got places you can click to listen to the podcast, and it has a little search thingy and place where you can subscribe to the podcast. It looks like I wrote the page in HTML and made it look cool, and I didn't even do that. Not even close. I just have the RSS feed out there, and Firefox interpreted into a cool looking web page. Now, to be fair, Internet Explorer does something similar, but it left the Dr. Bill cartoon out. They messed up there. They should have put the cartoon in because it's kind of cool. You know, the doctor with his tongue sticking out and one eye bigger than the other. Pfft, hey, you gotta love that. Anyway, check it out. It really is neat. Okay? And with that, we are 1 minute 57 seconds over time. Oh, well, I guess it's time to slide on out of here. There's the music, so we know it's really time. Keep in mind until next week that the doctor is out of here.